All right, welcome, folks. Mike Adams here. And for this interview, we are joined by Karen Kingston. And she has some bombshell information to share with us. She sent me a whole slew of documents that are just kind of blowing my mind already. She's a biotech analyst. She used to do work for lots of different companies, as an analyst with Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, Thermo Fisher, and so on. She's been sounding the alarm on what is in these vaccines, some of the, shall we say, exotic technology type of elements, nanoparticles. And today she's going to join us to talk about neuroweapons and much more. Karen, you've done incredible work. You've done a lot of interviews across the board. Thank you for joining us tonight to share what you've recently discovered.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I really appreciate it. And this is probably the most important research I've done so far, because what I did was I went outside of looking at the patents and medical documentation, for the FDA and medical products. And I went into the definitions of our military for neuroweapons, biological weapons, of weapons of mass destruction. And what I found was that in those areas, there were products such as neurotechnology and nanoneural technology, quantum dot, carbon nanotubules, and the use of 5G network to be used as neurobiological weapons of mass destruction. And I also found from a biological aspect that the toxins and synthetically recreated toxins that they found in the Wuhan Institute of Virology 2SP spike protein that's in the Pfizer vaccine also meets the definition of a bioweapon. And what's so evil is that Professor James Giordano, what he explains, and he has been a consultant with the intelligence community and the military. He was brought on with Obama in 2008. He says, neurostim and neurotechnology can be a weapon of mass destruction, but let's not think of it that way. If we think of it in health applications or consumer product applications, but specifically under health applications, then we can experiment with it for combat reasons and not have to provide transparency.
Whoa.
So the definition—
Wait a minute.
For a COVID-19 emergency use countermeasure, whether it's a vaccine or a PCR test or anything, meets the same definition for a neuroweapon of mass destruction.
So this explains a lot of things, probably why we have EUA, but not full approval. But before we get there, let me just give people your new Substack site. It's karenkingston.substack.com. And you told me right before we started here that you are working on a new Substack post that's going to show some of the documents that we're talking about here tonight. You're going to have that posted within 24 hours or so, a day or two. Is that correct?
I'll have one. So I told you I'm at 5,000 words already. So I'm trying to put them into bite-sized pieces. So I'll definitely have some of the documentation available tomorrow regarding the difference between, what's the difference between a neuroweapon and EUA COVID-19 countermeasure.
And right. when you say tomorrow to the audience, that's today, because we're recording this late at night. So this is going to be posted Thursday, October 6th. You'll have some things posted on your Substack also later Thursday, correct?
That is correct. And okay. There's the Substack, the image I have up right now, which I posted a couple days ago, and this is free, is why didn't the Americans unite to save America? And it's because no one told us the truth about what's going on. So the truth is that the COVID-19 injections, as well as other COVID-19 countermeasures, include neuroweapons of mass destruction. That is what's going on. It is contingent upon 5G, as far as they are all, they can all be lethal, but the lethality of it, or they call the usefulness and functionality of it, is contingent on 5G. And I think, I really don't believe most people know what's going on. And I think if they did, we could unite to save America.
Let me ask you some really basic questions before you get into the research. So you're saying that there is an ability for 5G frequencies to be able to activate some kind of functionality or toxicity in the lipid nanoparticles that have been already injected into people. Is that correct?
That's correct. And they can also be used to induce execution, so lethality and death.
Now, okay. So in your view then, big picture questions, in your view, have some of these 5G frequencies or broadcasts already taken place, or are they going to do it later for some at some milestone or something?
So great question. First of all, the 5G sequence, the 5G towers are already saturating us with toxic electromagnetic waves.
But that's totally separate from liquid nanoparticles. Lipid nanoparticles.
Yeah. So I just want to say that. So people are getting sick. Second, though, as you go through the documentation, they can actually emit specific signals to the quantum dots, right? That will have specific effects on various people. So that's correct too. And that's in the documents.
Okay. So do you believe that that has been happening in certain areas already?
Yeah. And I mean, the electromagnetic pulse frequencies can be coming from the 5G. They can also be coming from electromagnetic pulse military devices that kind of look like something like a cell phone. So people can be targeted that way as well. Yes. But yeah, I do. There are 5G electromagnetic frequencies that, I think it's been tested out on. And more than likely, it's been tested out on various areas in the United States where you see the higher levels of the COVID-19 injection deaths. So, I believe it's Naomi Wolf, she's done a great job reporting on the war room. And she talked about how certain places in America, there were higher deaths. And she thinks that was because the biological formulation was more toxic. Now, I would offer the theory that perhaps it was just that they activated the 5G in those areas.
So then why aren't they just activating it everywhere? Like, if their goal is mass depopulation, why aren't they just turning it up to 100 right now?
Everywhere? I don't know the answer to that question. But I do know that this is an artificial intelligence nanotechnology. I do know it's contingent on 5G. I also know there's another company we can talk about called Cloud Minds, who has deployed a lot of technology into the United States. They're based in China, and the Federal Bureau of Security has said they're a threat to national security because the end use of their technology is for military purposes. And I know from their filings with the SEC that the functionality of their AI technology is also dependent on 5G. So I don't know if the full 5G network is ready now to begin injuring and executing civilians. I don't know.
But what you're suggesting also, or at least opening the door to the possibility, is that perhaps a foreign enemy AI cyber attack could even take over some of the 5G systems, in a cyber attack, and then cause them to broadcast kill frequencies potentially. Would that be within the realm of what's possible?
Well, that would be in the realm of what's possible from Cloud Minds. And again, I have the documentation from their SEC filings and from our Federal Bureau of Security, which is a federal commerce for national security. So,
well, yeah. I do remember that Trump banned Huawei hardware from, I believe, Huawei, microchips and telecom equipment was banned by Trump. And then later, I think some European countries banned it, but there's still a lot of Huawei hardware in place that could provide just theoretically backdoors to Cloud Minds or somebody else like that. That's just an observation.
Yeah. Again, like the hope, and this is such a morbid conversation, but the hope that I had or that I have is that it's very clear that these neural weapons of mass destruction, again, their lethality, their functionality is contingent on 5G. And no one understands what's going on. If they did, I believe we could unite. I believe there's got to be a way. Our military is not evil. I know the leaders are. We know Milley and Lloyd Austin have betrayed this nation. We know so many leaders have, but I have to believe we could unite and stop this.
Well, okay, then. Thanks for entertaining my big picture questions there. I know you have a ton of research. Go ahead. Just start jumping into that and explain what you've found, because you've got some really compelling documents to share with us.
So about 20 months ago, this is the world patent, and they can find this on my Substack as well. This is the letter I wrote to senators, governors, influencers, podcasters, scientists, doctors. I mean, I sent this email to churches, you name it. And I provided early documentation, and I was very clear that if they looked at the documents I provided and had an expert, I will believe they will conclude that the COVID-19 injections are bioweapons that contain gain of function chimeric viruses and toxins, under the guise of an mRNA vaccine combined with a diagnostic therapeutic, which is a lipid nanoparticle platform. And it's that, you know, I go on to say that they can target systems in the body, including reproductive, cardiovascular, pulmonary, central nervous system, and specifically crossing the blood-brain barrier. So this was all, this information has been available since last, you know, almost 2 years ago now to everybody. It was in the actual master patent. And then if you go, you know, and it's important to note, this is why under, what caught my eye was that it said it contained a diagnostic. A diagnostic is not a biologic, Mike. It's a device. So it was very obvious. So people were like, well, just because it says it in the patent doesn't mean it's there. I know that, I'm intelligent, but there's no reason for them to list a diagnostic in a vaccine patent ever. And so then when you go to Moderna's website, and they took it down, but it used to be up on the site, the master patent for within the US for all mRNA vaccines talk about the lipid nanoparticles. And as you read through that patent on Moderna's website, it says they have self-assembly nanoparticles. These are not vaccines. It's self-assembly technology.
Wait a minute. Polymer-based self-assembly nanoparticles and fully programmable nanoparticles. This is from Moderna. Yes. And you have the patent number right there.
Yeah, this is the Moderna patent for all mRNA vaccines that fall under the Moderna NIH COVID-19 vaccines.
And what does it mean? It says primary constructs there at the bottom of the second paragraph on the left column. What is a primary construct?
I don't know. So I just pointed out here the semiconductive and metallic nanoparticles. Primary constructs. I haven't looked into that again. There's other things I dove into more, but it then specifically says right here, Mike, gels and hydrogels. So those right. are the gels and hydrogels are quantum dots. So as we go through this, I think, you know, so when you go through a patent or you go through a peer reviewed journal, I'll show you what you do. As you read through things, you'll see small references like numbers like this. And then I go and I look at that patent to see what they're referencing. So it's not that I read one 200-page patent. I've got to go through over 100 of them really right. to kind of figure out what's going on. Just, and I'm trying to shorten it. But again, it says right here that these are hydrogels. They're absorbent. They're biocompatible and biodegradable and porous. And what you'll find as we go through this, quantum dots are part of the hydrogel family. And again, it just says right here, don't tell me this is a vaccine and not an advanced nanotechnology. It says right here.
Polymer-based, self-assembled nanoparticles. Right. Yeah. Look, you know, Karen, I have to admit the very first time I heard about hydrogels and quantum dots and so on, I thought it was just a rumor or something. I mean, it was a couple of years back, but the fact that you're showing it here in the patent is, this is proof, obviously. They're using this.
I have more. I can show you quantum dot peer-reviewed publications, you know, and they're fluorescent, and it looks exactly what the doctors are seeing under the electron microscopes or the microscopy, whatever they're using to see them. Anyway, Mike, as I was saying, the hydrogels, were not just injected with an mRNA sequence and lipid nanoparticles. There is a plethora of technology and toxins and artificial intelligence and biologics that were injected in people. So what type of hydrogel that we know people were injected with were the magnetic hydrogels. Why? Because people are magnetic. People are magnetic. And I did a 3.5-hour presentation last August or September with Dr. Artis, where I went through the magnetic components in the master patents as well.
Well, okay, so, wait. Go back to that last slide, please. Okay. It says remote actuation. Strategies that's essentially what you're talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that's it. So again, there's a chapter, a book I sent you called Genetically Engineered Hydrogels. And that also explains how they use photons, right, to actually send signals to the genetically engineered hydrogels. And it is a book by two researchers out of scientists. It's a great book and it explains how it can then give them information to then start building out synthetically recreated tissues combined with inorganic materials. But here, yeah, so this is, it can be activated from an outside signal. Now, this is the one I wanted to dive into because this explains a little bit more about what people have been injected with. Also, you know, you can inhale this stuff, you can ingest it, or you can drink it because it's in the lipid nanoparticles. So this is multifunctional magnetic hydrogel. And what it states, you know, right here is, just to let people know, I want to explain what those clots are that you're finding. is it explains that the latest applications of magnetic hydrogels in biomedicine, soft actuators, environment, chemistry, and engineering. What are soft actuators? Soft actuators are synthetically recreated micro robots or nanobots. So I'm just going to read exactly from Nature Review. This is an article just, I think, from last year. So inspired by physically adapted, agile, reconfigurable, and multifunctional soft-bodied animals and human muscles. Now, soft actuators have been developed for a variety of applications, including soft grippers, artificial muscles, wearables, haptics, and medical devices. The complex performance of the systems cannot be fully replicated in synthetic designs. And then they just talk about the structures with physical intelligence. So that means they actually respond to chemicals, heat, chemicals in your body, heat, et cetera. And advanced properties such as adaptability, multimodal locomotion, so they're movable, self-healing, and multi-responsiveness. And so this is a hybrid nanotechnology made from animals and soft-bodied animals and human muscles. And I want to point out that the Hydra has been studied by the NIH since the 90s out of UC Irvine and UC Davis for purposes of the fact that it's like this stem cell that can constantly regenerate itself. And they've done studies where they've used it in mice combined with other technology to rebuild limbs of the mice. So, when I talked about saying that those biosynthetic structures were related to the Hydra, it's that they use genetic information from the Hydra to help with that.
Wait, so you're saying that these are self-healing biostructures that, or what was the term? You didn't use biostructures, but synthetic structures, biosynthetic structures. Now, I recall that embalmer Richard Hirschman told me something actually during an interview, and I was very skeptical of it, but he said that he had one of these clots that was removed from the body of a vaccinated person who later died. And he put the clot into a preservation liquid and put it in storage. And then the next day he got it out and he said that clot had grown something like 40%. And I didn't believe it. Yeah. But what you're explaining, if they are self-healing, if they are adaptive and reconfigurable, then suddenly that could make sense.
Yeah, they're synthetic artificial intelligence nanotechnology parasites. I think that's probably the best.
Wait, say that again. Say that again, please.
They're biosynthetic artificial intelligence nanotechnology parasites.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So, that's not a term that they use, but that's like a way to think of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they need the host, but at some point they don't need the host.
So what would be the purpose? I mean, why go through all the trouble of having human bodies build these structures if the goal is just depopulation or something? I mean, why go through all this trouble if you're the globalists?
I don't have an answer for that we are part of a massive experiment and they are moving towards that transhumanism movement and they are trying to create their own species. So, does someone ask the mice, does the mice go, why did the human do this to me? They don't know what our intentions are for them. We don't know what these people's intentions are for us. We're part of an experiment. I don't know if they're just trying to figure out how to execute us or how to create a new species. I don't know.
Yeah, we're getting into so much. I feel like I need to go review Aliens 1 and 2, first of all, the movies, because it's almost like science fiction, but you're quoting patents. I mean, this is from Nature Reviews materials. These are like biomaterials research. And I'm sorry to stall on this slide. I know you've got a lot more, but you're already kind of freaking me out.
Yeah, but people have these biosynthetic structures in their body. People are magnetic. People are having neurological disorders. I mean, we're seeing, so we'll keep going through this, but this
okay,
is,
yeah.
Yeah. So the whole point is from this article, it explains like it's to build out different, organs and tissues. So it can do that using artificial intelligence. NIH has a technology called Ares, A-R-E-S, which can then pick up genetic sequences to help to build out cells, tissues, and organs by being inside a body, and that they did that with mice. So as you go on to this, it talks about that it has intelligent response, the hydrogel. So it says it can perceive small physical chemical stimuli, temperature, light, magnesium, pH. So I had mentioned that before. And it can significantly respond its behaviors. Because of this intelligence, hydrogel has a fascinating application prospect in tissue engineering, drug controlled release, and soft actuators. So creating those lifelike biosynthetic robots.
Then it cites magnetic fields for external stimulation.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And so it needs electromagnetic frequencies for its energy to thrive and also to receive signals and information. And it's contactless control, easy integration into electronic devices. So these are nanotechnology smart devices. Beyond that, they're actually are with artificial intelligence.
Well, have you ever heard about apps that people can download onto their mobile phones that actually function as remote controls for their televisions?
Yeah.
Well, so that means that your phone the app tells your phone to transmit infrared photons to control the TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
So couldn't a vaccine tracing app also, like, you download the app and it also then kind of covertly starts broadcasting infrared, you know, instructions that's picked up by these things you're talking about? Your own phone could be broadcasting this.
Yeah, that's a great point. So John Key, who was a Chinese raised US military trained army program manager, talks about how quantum dot is used in televisions, right? So yeah, so it's the same technology that's found in television. So yeah, absolutely, you could get signals from your phone.
But I mean, okay. But, sorry, I'm going in all kinds of directions on this. I'm just thinking even 5G doesn't have to be the source of the broadcast. It could be, a surreptitious app on your phone, and people download all these tracking apps and they agree to give the apps access to everything. And through that, you know, this could be happening. It could be broadcasting information. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Sorry. Yeah. So this is from the same article, and this just, I spoke beforehand, this just made my jaw drop. So these are images of the pegylated lipid nanoparticle technology that contains the magnetic hydrogels. And what do they look like?
They look like spike proteins.
Yeah, we've been lied to.
So you think the spike proteins are actually these things instead?
Yeah, because I couldn't even understand. Like, I don't know how you would see a spike protein on some of these imagery things. I mean, spike proteins are a few nanometers inside, but if they are electromagnetic technology, these are the spike proteins. They're not biological agents.
So when people are looking at these under electron microscopy, and they say, "Oh, I see these little spiky things," you're saying that this is actually what they're seeing instead.
These are the little spiky things.
Nano, what does it say? Nano emulsion?
Yeah, there's a nano capsule and a nano emulsion. So that whole COVID-19 spike protein, it seems to be a giant lie. That they were what they were calling COVID-19 spike was nanotechnology. You know, and Clay Clark, and I believe him, you know, he says it stands for certification. A vaccination ID, and then 19, one is A and nine is I, AI. So the COVID-19 spike is the AI.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, don't believe your lying eyes, right? Oh, okay. This is real quick. So I had sent you, we talked about a month ago, this is for opal hydrogels, which I showed you in the patent. And again, the opal hydrogels are for tissue engineering, for regeneration, replacement, and improvement of functions of damaged tissue. So again, this rolls up into that master patent on on Moderna. And I just want to skip to here where they did talk about EDTA potentially could work to slow down, I guess, the progression. It would adsorb to it and remove it. I really don't know what biological solutions we have. I think getting rid of the 5G is our best chance at saving humanity. But what they talk about is these are IOHs. That's what the that's what the hydrogels are, which is organic and inorganic hydrogels. And so as you look those up, this is another online publication. This is on fluorescent, inorganic and organic hydrogels. Now keep in mind that there's a green fluorescent insect product that's in the vaccines. And there's also the luciferase, which is from a firefly in the Appalachian Mountains. And so these images match up with what the scientists are seeing underneath their microscopes. And as you go through this, what's an organic and inorganic hybrid hydrogel? It is a semiconductor type quantum dot, nanoparticles, and you know, and then they say organic dyes. So this is again, and I talk about the emissions of quantum dots relates to a quantum confinement effect. So they, again, these are quantum dot, that is what they are. This also rolls up into that master patent on the mRNA on Moderna. And it says, these are for semiconducting single walled carbon nanotubes, SWCNTs, they're single walled carbon nanotubes. That's what they are. This is owned by a company in China. Again, it rolls up into the Moderna patent. These are what they are. This is what they look like. Stu Peters has had people on his show where he shows this is what they're seeing under the microscope. This is what you're injected with. Carbon nanotubes, quantum dot. Again, this is another one that talks about how they were able to create a patent so that it could disperse throughout the body for biodistribution. And it says right here, you know, it's a patent for preparing semiconductive and metallic nanoparticles throughout the body's dispersion. And as you go through this, it clearly states that they are semiconductive nanocrystals, also known as quantum dot. Mike, do you believe me that people have quantum dot in their body?
Well, through the injections.
Yeah, through the injections.
Yeah.
At least through the injections.
Yeah, they're being introduced. I'm just thinking, you know, clearly there is a bigger goal in all of this. And you mentioned transhumanism.
Yeah.
And you mentioned you're calling these AI nanotechnology parasites or biosynthetic parasites of some kind. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the human bodies are being used as hosts to incubate this next life form, which is an AI system. And what if is it possible that these AI systems that are being built in people's bodies can talk to each other? So there's a distributed network, like AI distribution, like peer-to-peer AI among the people who have been vaccinated?
Yeah. Do you want me to go? That's the Cloud Minds technology. And it's also in the patent for all COVID-19 vaccines that was filed by Gail Elric out of
Israel.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So in other words, it's like human beings are like walking biological AI computational infrastructure without knowing it. And there's computation and communication happening using your biology without your conscious awareness that any of this is happening? Is that
what we were lied to? We're lied to about everything. So, I want to tell people that if humanity unites and we wake up to what is going on, the lethality, the functionality of this demonic technology appears to be contingent on 5G towers. And you know, so it's not just based on the Starlink and all the, you know, satellite systems. It has to be in our environment. And it appears it has to be in our environment, in our communities, you know? So if we could rise up and wake people up, I think there is hope. The only hope is to stop the 5G. And, you know, if people woke up, what should happen is the military should remove, you know, recall all these bioweapons and take down the towers.
Okay. But even if they did that now, you know, we're at over 12 and a half billion injections of these things globally, which is more than one per person on the planet. And in the United States, I don't know what the number is, but what, according to official estimates, more than 70% of the population has been injected, something like that.
Yeah.
So even if we stop it now, what about the 70% who already have this?
So let me see what's on here. Well, we can go into it. So again, the functionality of this technology is based on 5G. And so it is based on the Bohr particle. So, you know, that's the observer effect and frequencies. So theoretically, if the frequencies aren't available, the technology theoretically would dissolve.
I see. We just shut down the grid.
Yeah.
Then everything goes null and void.
Yeah, it almost disappears into the quantum field, right? When the frequencies aren't there. And then it reappears. I mean, there are people, though, obviously, for some of these people, these AI nanotech parasites have probably established enough of a presence in the body that they will no longer be as aggressive or, you know, towards the person, but they won't just dissolve. But there's probably hope for some people that it would, you know, again, it's based on quantum mechanics and the Bohr particle. So it comes into existence based on that frequency.
I mean, I know these biostructures are physical and they persist in the body and they kill people.
But I'm saying the early stages of the activation, the nanotechnology and scientists have said that it seems like it appeared out of nowhere, right?
Is there anything in your research that points to why vaccinated people seem to become, like, they suffer personality changes? They become more aggressive. They lose their humanity or some of it in terms of their neurological function.
Yeah. So that's explained by Professor James Giordano. Professor James Giordano is the professor of neuroethics, which is an oxymoron, and neuroweapons. He joined, he started working with Obama in 2008. He was a strong advisor in launching the Brain Initiative. He's U.S. military Marine trained. He trains the West Point cadets and the U.S. Naval Academy too. And he works with the CIA, DARPA, IARPA, et cetera. And this is his organization, Homeland Defense and Security. So you're talking about, does it change their personalities? And absolutely it does. So he talks about neuroscience and neurotechnology here, or neuroscience and neurotechnology, that it can be used for diagnostic treatments, create human machine networks. So what you're saying, that's the point. This is our top advisor, by the way, on neuroweapons in the United States. For optimized particular types and dimensions of performance of military and intelligence personnel. So we're at war, our own government, which has been captured by an enemy. And this is what's happening, and develop lethal and non-lethal weapons. He explains that basically up here is that neurotoxins and neurotechnology, is defined by the Biological Toxic Weapons Convention and the Chemical Weapons Convention as weapons of mass destruction. But if we don't think of them that way, and we think of them more of like medical devices, then we, you know, have a lot of leeway. So that's basically what this says here. So we don't have to worry about, you know, under health regulations, then we can do what we want.
Wait a minute, you're saying that they can take basically neuroweapon systems, and by relabeling them emergency use authorization, then they don't have to really disclose what they're doing?
Yeah, exactly. They don't have to. And he talks about this here, and I can show you the FDA law that allows that to happen as well.
So this explains why they had to have the media hype, the fear about the pandemic, in order to justify the EUA.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't that they wanted to just skip the clinical trials for the vaccine. It's that they needed to package neurotechnology or neuroweapon systems under the EUA. And that's the only way they could scoot them through.
Yeah. And under emergency use authorization, if someone was injected with a neurotechnology device, if that was proprietary information under section 21814.9 for a pre-market approval medical device, the pre-market approval file, so what the was submitted to the FDA, does not need to be disclosed if the information is not publicly available. So Bill Gates can keep his evil secret. That's why they needed the world to believe the FDA approval never happened. They did the FDA approval to get more people to believe that the mandates were legal, but then they convinced the world it never happened because it changed the laws of war. And James Giordano knows that, because when you read his documentation, you know, he talks about how, look, under health, under experimentation, we can actually deploy military weapons.
But this weapon system that you're describing then has been deployed, what, worldwide? Or were there worldwide. Different injections in Russia and China and Iran and so on versus Western civilization?
Well, no. We know the vials. There's different stuff in them, but we don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they put in all the different ones. But
no, but I mean, in China, were they injecting? I don't think they were injecting Pfizer vaccines in China, for example. And didn't Russia have its own vaccines as well?
Yeah, Russia had its own vaccines. Yeah.
So that could have been something completely different. That could have been more of a traditional quote vaccine.
Yeah, could have been a flu
and
vaccine.
Not even mRNA.
Yeah. So yeah, so to it could have been absolutely. So to get back to your thing, so the a weapon is a way of contending against another to injure, defeat, or destroy. Oh, hold on. And what I wanted to get to was down here was where you're saying, can it change people's personalities? So this is again from Professor James Giordano, and what he states right here is that they can use the neuroweapon technology to selectively target the thoughts, sentiments, and actions of an individual, such as a political or military leader, to evoke a change in his or her ideas, emotions, and behaviors. He also talks about that there are neuroactive drugs, toxins that can be used at large scale to incur ripple effects with groups, communities, or populations. So they can create sentinel cases, so key cases in communities of individuals who exhibit neuropsychiatric and physical signs and symptoms. Then they can attribute this to a terrorist attack and add misinformation and then create anxiety, sleeplessness, and paranoia.
Wow. I mean, so they're saying they can use the corporate media to propagate all these effects, right? After just targeting a few individuals who generate symptoms, and then the media amplifies that, and then people kind of make themselves sick. Or more sick.
Yeah, but he also says that they can also cause the emotional instability, and they can target specific individuals as well.
I see.
So this is from Professor James Giordano, again, our top leader in neuroweapons in the United States military and intelligence community.
Now, the odd thing about all of this, if we were just talking about the military developing weapons to, let's say, defend the United States against foreign enemies, that would be a completely different context than what we're talking about now, because from what you're providing here, it seems apparent that these weapons have been deployed against the American people.
Yeah, they have.
And so, against all of humanity, in essence.
Yep. Yeah. And then just to go back to the quantum dot and then to the Chinese military's involvement is, this is from John Key, and he, you know, it's from 1919, and it's a military breaking defense publication. And they talk about nanotubes and quantum dots, and you know they talk about how they're developing them. And this is John Key. He's from China, and he is a and it's in the article, and he is based in South Carolina, working for our U.S. Army on quantum dots, nanotubes, and 5G. This is one of his projects, this massive 5G deployment. And you know he talks about how they're going to reduced semiconductors. Now, quantum dot is beyond, it's 6 nanometers, right? I mean, it's so tiny. So this is stuff that goes inside the body. So to using carbon nanotubes, and then the importance of needing the 5G networks to activate those carbon nanotubes and quantum dot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this article just goes through this, and then he talks about that there'll be commercial use of carbon nanotubes. He said maybe in 5 years, but don't quote me, and kind of probably did some evil laugh. So this is from 2019. They had already been working on this for 10 years as you read through this article. But what's interesting too is he says, yeah, quantum dot is already sold in high-end quantum LED TV sets, right? And I just showed you what the quantum dot looks like from that peer-reviewed chemical journal, right? It is that those huge, bright, vibrant colors. And it says right here, it produces more vivid colors. So that's why people have these weird glowing things in their bodies that they're seeing underneath the electron, underneath the microscopes. And you know, he explains that this is the weird thing though, when we activate it, because we're in the quantum mechanic field, things don't always go exactly as we hope. That's what he says. Sometimes things, energy jumps and everything becomes unpredictable and fuzzy. So that doesn't sound good for humanity. And then just so you know, like an LED television set, a smart device, things that use this quantum technology also meets the FDA's definition of a consumer electronic product, just so you know, right? So this is a very strange area.
Yeah, these quantum dots, you know, according to quantum computing, or qubits as they're known in quantum computing, these quantum bits can simultaneously hold values of zero and one. It's through superposition of, you know, of the quantum effects that nobody really understands.
Yeah, but, like Schrodinger's cat.
And even beyond, I mean, you know, they use quantum computing for decryption applications. But you're starting, I mean, if they're building AI biosynthetic substances in your body, you're talking about AI, and now you're talking about quantum dots. What if there are small quantum computing capabilities that are part of this package? Because earlier we were talking about how they were installing, what was it, primary structures, which to me sounds like an operating system platform to receive future payloads or future instructions. I'm just taking a guess, but you know, my original background is in software tech. You see where I'm going with that?
So these are meant to act as independent operating systems that can host fields and send and receive signals. That's correct.
And I think some of these vaccine companies talk about how they're installing an operating system, and then they can later push basically updates, which is more software, to your system to control what you're doing at a cellular level.
And they will communicate with one another. And I'm going to get to that with the Chinese thing, but I just wanted to finish with the Chinese company. I wanted to finish what John Key was saying. So he said there was a small business technology transfer grant. I don't know who ARO is, for the research on the quantum dots. And they talked about integrating many circuits together to build actual equipment. And so the way that, John Key answered this was that he's like, well, look, ARO is just one piece of the research. So that's where this, so he's like, I don't do that. I just do the scientific research. But when it goes to ARO, that's where it becomes part of combat capabilities development. So this is meant for, this is a weapon of warfare. The quantum dot system, creating networks within our bodies, within humans, to the 5G, to the satellite system. This is a combat operation.
What would be the real world application of this in combat? I mean, what do they do? Inject soldiers with this and then send the soldiers out there and then like aliens come out of their chests or what? You know, what are we talking about here?
Well, I think this is an execution platform is what it is. And so, you know, it's an execution platform.
Okay, so they're not building super soldiers. They're just exterminating humans.
The super soldiers, they are building super soldiers, but they're not, those aren't human super soldiers. Those are AI soldiers. And so those are the cloud mind soldiers. I'll get to that real quick, just to just wrap this one up.
Okay.
So this explains that the quantum dots are no more than 6 nanometers. So they fit inside a nanotube. So those nanotubes within the lipid nanoparticles contain the quantum dots. Oh, and then this is the world patent for all COVID-19 vaccines. It was filed by Gail Ehrlich, and he's based in Israel and somewhere in the United States.
Ehrlich?
Yeah, Ehrlich, his last name is right here.
Ehrlich. It's like the same as Paul Ehrlich, the depopulation pusher from the 1970s.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Yeah.
Coincidence, the leading cause of death. Anyway, So this talks about the methods for vaccination for privacy, but as you can see, it's under skin technology. They actually talk about it being a smart technology, and these are networks of people connected to one another. And that the electronic devices will exchange people's IDs. The electronic devices are not your cell phone. The electronic devices are under or in your system. So
Wait a second.
Yeah.
There's the patent number at the top of that. Can you go back to the previous page? Please.
Yeah, but I want to show you the part where it says it's for all COVID-19 vaccines.
Okay, so hold on. So this page and then the page you just showed us are the same patent, correct?
Yeah, they're the same patent. So here, let me be clear though. Okay. So this is the patent application. So I like the patent applications because it's easier for me to navigate. This patent was actually granted on August 31st of 2021. Everything is exactly the same. So you can search this patent. It was granted on August 31st, 2021.
Got it.
This is the submission from March.
Okay.
But they're the same. This is just, it's easier for me to go through this version of it because of the way that they break it up. So as you go through this, whether it's this version or the one from August, it states it's easy for me because in the application, they give sections. Section 0352, it says the vaccines are all compounds as disclosed in the website of the World Health Organization website.
Well, of COVID-19 candidate vaccines. Can you do me a favor? Go back to the title for this. I want to search for that and bring it up so I can link to it when I cover this interview. Methods and systems. Gosh.
Yeah, and it's pretty easy to understand because there's a lot of cartoons.
Okay. Is this something, can you just give me the final patent number or?
It's US 2021 zero. Oh, the final patent number.
Okay. I want to bring out the final issued patent and link to that.
I have it right here. Patent number is US 11107588B2.
Okay.
And it was granted on August 31st.
Okay. I see methods. Yeah. Let me bring it up here. Yeah. Methods and systems of prioritizing treatment. Yeah. This is it. Okay. Great. Got it.
Yeah. So there's something, I didn't do a screenshot of it, but there's another section in this patent. So the version you have would be column 47. I don't know if you have it in front of you.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. So it says also, so I just showed you the part where it said that it was for all the COVID-19 vaccines on the World Health Organization. If you continue to read the patent, it says in some embodiments, vaccines are all compounds as disclosed in the website clinicaltrials.gov COVID-19. So that would be all tests, all products, all drugs, PCR tests that are listed on clinicaltrials.gov for COVID-19. So anything that's used for COVID-19 can have this smart technology in it.
Well, I see also in the patent, it says in some embodiments, said virus is SARS-CoV-2, MERS-CoV, SARS-CoV, coronavirus, influenza virus, and any disease that results in influenza-like symptoms. Wow.
Yeah, the patent also says that people may have no symptoms at all and not realize that they need a vaccine.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is a real doozy to read, but I think what's important to note is that it's all World Health Organization COVID-19 vaccines. And in the United States, in addition to that, it's all products that are used for COVID-19 that are listed on clinicaltrials.gov. And the patent also mentions that azithromycin and zinc can also deliver this technology.
But I want to ask for clarity on this because this patent makes a lot of mentions about electronic devices, but you're saying it also applies to biosynthetic circuits that are communicating within the people.
You can see it in the patent that the devices, these are smart devices. Again, the definition of a neuroweapon, an emergency use medical neurotechnology and a consumer smart device, they all meet the criteria of all three, depending on who you ask.
Okay. All right. This is wild. Well, I'll link to this when covering this interview, but yeah. go ahead. I mean, we've got about 10 minutes remaining. Okay. What else do you want to get in here?
Yeah. So this is considered a smart device. So they think of it as a cell phone. It's just a nano cell phone under your skin that you were injected with and no one told you. That's what it is, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I wanted to get to CloudMinds. So CloudMinds is a company based out of China, and they have a whole AI technology, and their technology that they're launching right now, and I don't know if it's available in the United States. Their plan was to launch it in 2022, is called the 5G new species cloud robot. So they've created their new species and their whole family there. One of the things that I thought was alarming is they do have this nanotechnology that puts out aerosol, microorganisms and lipid nanoparticles for pandemics. And, guess what? Humans are the virus. But it talks about that they have a secure cloud-based intelligence service for the robots and smart devices through artificial intelligence enhanced by human intelligence. So again, we're here to enhance the robots. It's not right. The other way around. They talk about the 5G and blockchain authentication techniques that they need. I know blockchain is also, you know, it's used for identity purposes. It's used for cryptocurrency. I don't know why the robots need money and their own ID. They talk about creating the digital twin reality. So, you know, that's taking everything that artificial intelligence learned about a human and then creating a robot that reflects that, that kind of human. But, and they also talk about the standard controller for robots to connect to the cloud brain efficiently. So they all will be connected to one brain. And, you know, this technology has been injected in people's body. You know, it seems like ideally what they want is for the humans also to have our neurological systems connected to this AI brain, right?
Oh, wow.
And from that, you'll get your orders. I know this sounds crazy. This is just a zoom in of that. So this is their SEC filing from 2019. And they talk about the importance of 5G. Again, this is where I think there is hope if we want to save humanity. And it, they say that the data transmission rate and latency, so delays, determine whether or not the real-time monitoring and controlling can be achieved, you know, of the robots and the exchange of information. And they say the broad application of 5G network will significantly decrease delays and increase the bandwidth, benefiting the robot systems by increasing their stability and exchange of information, enabling the robots to be more interactive through real-time connection and transfer of huge amounts of data from the cloud. So 5G is not for us. 5G is for these robots. 5G will be used to help enslave and exterminate us while it is empowering and energizing the robots. This is their SEC filing from 2019.
Yeah.
And they go on to say that, you know, they plan on deploying in South Korea and the United States because we have the most 5G towers. And they were, you know, very psychic in knowing that by 2022, the whole 5G deployment would be up, right? Because what
happened? So this is going to give the robots the bandwidth they need for real-time video monitoring and surveillance of you and your family members, everything in your house, but also so that the decision-making of the robots is handled in the AI cloud, right?
Yeah.
And that's where, I mean, this is, wasn't this a Will Smith movie called I, Robot, where all the robots went bad and they started murdering people?
Yeah, and Google just announced like 3 weeks ago, a new API, it's like called Tensor or something or other. It's like Python C++. So the fact is they can just use this API that is like a virtual user face that can actually extract terabytes of information, but without having to disrupt the entire data system and then send it back. That's a whole nother story. So it's all in place. Again, it's contingent on the 5G. But okay. So if you don't believe me that this is a military operation and a threat, I just want to get to this real quick. This is from our Industry of Security and Bureau, and they are our Commerce Federal Department for National Security. And they list 24 entities that are acting contrary to the national security of foreign policy interests. Again, you can see who they are right here. Their job is regards trade. So, you know, international products and trades coming in and out of the country that are threats to national security. They determined that cloud mine technology, that's what I just showed you, that the end user review committee determined that these entities pose a significant risk of becoming involved in activities because their commodities and technologies are their end uses for Chinese military operations.
Right.
So what we have done in the last 2 years, Mike, is we've put up the 5G towers, we've injected people with nanotechnology. Now we're gonna be told that there's these AI technologies and robots for our benefit. And they are an enemy AI military force that are being sent in here to execute American civilians.
And we built it. It's like we built their super weapon.
Yeah, we built it.
And then all they have to do is activate it.
Yeah. So when they declared the whole, you know, to shut down the nation and COVID-19 was a threat to national security and all the Americans put themselves on house arrest, I would argue that if we actually had been invaded in March of 2020 by, let's say, the People's Liberation Army, they would have used military forces to ensure we stayed in our homes on house arrest while they put up the military infrastructure needed to execute us, why they imported bioweapons as well, and why they built prison and war camps to put the civilians in. So, you know, why the, like, if we had been invaded at that time, you know, if Americans would have rebelled, but if we had stayed on house arrest, then an enemy of America could have built war camps, could have imported bioweapons or what weapons, and could have put up their military infrastructure to execute us.
Now,
if that had happened,
Judicial Watch has acquired 249 pages from HHS. Mm-hmm. The detail, this is breaking news, the detail, the massive propaganda campaign could use basically the entire entertainment, infrastructure of America to push these vaccines. I mean, we're talking about, they were doing every movie, TV show, podcaster, everything possible, comedians and so on to push. They were even trying to get vaccine pushers on with Joe Rogan and so on. And this massive document dump has come out, and it shows how desperate they were to make sure that everybody got injected. And, you know, it's so desperate that, you know, this wasn't about saving lives or reducing suffering. There was some other agenda. And I think you're describing what that is. The agenda was to make sure everybody got installed with this tech.
Yeah. And what's scary is if when the 5G towers, if they put out frequencies, I don't know what's going to happen to some people. But our greatest help or hope to save humanity is to get those towers taken down. And if you still don't believe me, when Merrick Garland said that people who speak out at school boards or about COVID-19 on February 7th of 2022 were domestic terrorists, he also said that people who say that 5G towers are a health threat are terrorists.
Well, are you familiar with, I'm not sure what his first name is, Mr. Colander, who's talked about the broadcast frequencies that would be, well, broadcast from the 5G towers, it'd be, I don't know, three frequencies, and it would be the kill switch, and it would activate the actual kill mechanism of those who are previously vaccinated. Are you familiar with him saying that?
No, I'm not, but the technology, I mean, so people have electromagnetic receivers in their body. So, and they've infiltrated major systems of their body, including their neurological system and their brain. So, it's very clear by the military documents and the patents and the clinical studies that, yes, you can send out a frequency that would cause death. And I mean, James Giordano talks about that too.
Okay. So what would you, as we're kind of approaching the end of this interview, but obviously we've got to have you back on to talk about more, but what would you say to somebody who's skeptical of everything they just heard and saying, no, that's crazy. No, this is just a vaccine. It's just a virus. It's just a, an outbreak, and Health and Human Services is all good, and these patents don't mean anything. It's just theory. What would you say to that?
I think people have to take a look at history, and that was part of what my Substack was, because we're all baffled at how so many people, innocent people, were executed in the war camps, right? But you have to keep in mind that they had, in the 20th century, I think we've topped it now, they had the most evil, malfeasant propaganda, psychological warfare unleashed on them. And they were told that, they were a threat. They had viruses. And then they were told they were going to work camps. They were not told that their government, that they were prisoners of their own government and prisoners of war, and that they were being executed. And their government had also, the SS had provided financial incentives, as well as this kind of celebrity status for those people who got on board and voluntarily murdered other innocent people. That is what happened, and that's what's happening now. So the financial incentives that are given to healthcare providers, political leaders, local leaders, people, unfortunately, Mike, they don't serve God. People do, they serve money, and they pretend that they're serving people, but people do not serve God. And so they're not able to see the truth. And 2 Thessalonians 2 says, those that will perish were because they were not lovers of the truth. And the one of the lawless one will come in with all types of deceptions and lies because they don't love the truth. And I think if you took, if you could go back and go, well, why did this happen in Europe, during World War II? It was because everyone was being lied to by their government, and their government was incentivizing local leaders and influencers to carry out their plans.
And people went along with it with incredible obedience. And this is what disturbs me today about observing humanity's response to COVID and vaccines and so on. It's crazy that even right now, I saw a survey, 49% of Americans still plan to take the flu shot this coming winter. Now, of course, the establishment is disappointed because they hope that number would be 70%. It's only 49%. But you and I, I'm thinking, one out of two people still want to commit suicide with vaccines? Yeah. How can that be after the last 2 years?
Again, you have to look at history, and I know people don't like it when people make analogies to the Holocaust, but they were told that when they were being brought in as prisoners of war, they were told they were going to a work camp or a quarantine camp, you know, for safety or health prevention. When their children and people were being put into gas chambers, they were told the gas chambers were showers. Okay. There was a sign over Auschwitz that said, "Work sets you free."
Pure evil.
Well, what else is pure evil? COVID-19 will protect you and your loved ones.
The vaccine, right?
Yeah, COVID-19 vaccines will protect you and your loved ones.
Right, 100% safe and effective.
It's the same. It's the same propaganda. It's the same demonic, evil, consciousness that is out to destroy humanity and play God. And this is truly a spiritual warfare. And I'm very saddened that, you know, I've had this information, much of it, for 20 months. There's been no gray area. I've always called these bioweapons weapons of mass, you know, that can cause, you know, can only cause disease, disabilities, and death. And somehow or another in our movement, and this is how evil works. People got convinced about, oh, you can't tell the people the truth about the bioweapons. That's too scary. We need to focus on choice and that it's not safe from others. I can tell you, Mike, that messaging did not come from God.
Yeah.
It came from evil.
You know, that's a really good point. There are people even who oppose vaccines who just won't go where we've gone tonight to talk about this kind of thing. I mean, I see it too. There's a lot of self-censorship. There's a lot of defensiveness. And by the way, I've had some people refuse to be on with me because of somebody else I interviewed. So they would say, no, I can't come on your show because you interviewed this other person. And right, which is crazy.
That's so childish and immature and unprofessional. It's ridiculous. I don't know where these people ever worked, that they were never corrected about anything they ever stated or did. We all make mistakes. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. And when someone makes a mistake, if you are a lover of the truth and honesty in God, and you get corrected, you go, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. You know, or if you disagree with someone, you sit down as two professionals and you debate it. That's what you do.
But
my point is, though, I think people are good people. I think I do believe that 2 Thessalonians, that this great delusion has been brought on to humanity. And I would say, like, 99.9% of people, there's very few people that understand that this is a bioweapon and are willing to state it. And I wish they would, because if people do not believe people with evidence, they believe people with credibility. Right. And so, you know, we are, you know, Mike, you're much more credible than I am. But, you know, there are powerful, very influential doctors and scientists and mRNA experts and celebrities where if they told people what was going on, they would wake up. Because, again, people don't believe evidence. They believe people. And when people are very credible, like certain people in our movement, everyone says trust but verify. That's a misnomer. Because when you have enough credibility, people trust you. I don't have enough credibility, and I'm okay with that. So the expression should be believe but verify. But when someone of great influence says something that is blatantly false or misleading, nobody checks it, and they trust them and they believe it like it was the truth.
Well, and you're right. And the masses who aren't even tuned in to any of this, the great masses, they trust celebrities. They trust whatever the Kardashians plug on Twitter. And that's it. That's their source of information. And most of those people already took the vaccine, vaccine.
Think about how many of the people on our side, you know, and I'm not going to name names, and even political figures, current and former, who will not tell people the truth that these are bioweapons.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's one in particular who used to be in the Oval Office.
Exactly. There's no, this concept of we can't tell people the truth. It'll paralyze them. It's too scary. That is not, that message is not from the truth, and it's not from God. It is a demonic message. before Satan can destroy, he must deceive. He wants you to be dishonest and to go along with his narrative. And the concept too, you know, that on our movement, you know, I couldn't boldly come out and say that these are bioweapons. When the FDA approval happened, they broke the law. We need to change our strategy. And everyone's like, she's not a team player. Well, I'm like, well, but everyone is in agreement with a messaging and a movement that is actually futile if our goal is to stop the destruction of humanity.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you. That's why I appreciate your courage. And that's why I love to have these conversations with you. I don't censor anything. And
I know you've been amazing. I was a fan of yours, or follower of yours before I ever interviewed you.
Well, let me share with you and also with our audience here, I'll go ahead and make this public, but I've had pro-life people contact me and say, hey, Mike, you got to tone down your anti-abortion talk, because the way we're going to win this, they say, is like, the way we're going to win this is we're going to say that only third trimester abortion is wrong, but we're not going to talk about the other two trimesters. And I'm like, no. I'm sorry. I'm not playing politics here. I'm trying to save human lives. And those lives matter from the moment of conception, period. So I mean, even in abortion, I get the same kind of energy from some folks who want to play the middle ground. There's no room for middle ground.
What's sad is the church played the middle ground too. So I notified my church and some other churches very early on before anyone knew who I was. And I provided them the documentation and the patents. And this was in May of last year, Mike. And I was very, these are my words exactly. I said, the church needs to come out and say, make a statement. I can verify all of it, saying that they do not support another American being injected with a COVID-19 vaccine because of the risk. But what I also said is, like, how can the church say that they are pro-life when they know when a pregnant woman gets injected with this vaccine, this technology will murder the baby within her womb, rip the baby from her womb, and leave her barren? How can you not make a stand? And everything I said in that letter of May last year has come true. I said, millions of people are going to die. Parents are going to have an unbelievable burden on their souls because they think they're going to be encouraging their children to do something good when they were sacrificing them to evil. And women who want to be mothers are going to have their babies ripped from their wombs and left barren. Well, everything I said has come true. So 100%. But I'm just saying, we need to love the truth and not love this world.
I got to bring in this from the HHS propaganda that came out via Judicial Watch. Check this out. This was in their document. They wanted to, quote, request a vaccination special on the Christian Broadcasting Network featuring evangelical leaders, you know, who are willing to push the vaccine. And then another one was, here it is, produce a HHS question and answer videos featuring local Black doctors discussing the vaccines, how they work, and why the public should get vaccinated. So they're going after Christians and Blacks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're specific. Those are their targets right here. And you know why? Because Black folks rejected this more than anybody else because they knew the history of Tuskegee, and Christians rejected it for lots of reasons we've talked about. So they're targeting specific ethnicities and religious beliefs.
And it comes back to what I just talked about, which is credibility. They're going to people in the local communities who have credibility. And when you have credibility, people trust you. The whole concept trust plus verify is a misnomer. When people trust you, you can blatantly lie to them and they will believe you. And I'm not saying everyone's intentionally lying. I think many people have been misled. And they thought, okay, they believe this weird lie that telling the people the truth would be harmful to them, and that going along with this some of the lie would be beneficial. It's very strange. And people are lovers of money in this world. You know, I mean, that's what
crazy.
It is.
It's nuts.
It's just nuts.
I'm very disappointed.
Like, love God and serve people, you know? And I think, and people kind of love them, you know, love money and serve themselves.
Well, hey, I mean, the way this is going, there might be a day that we wake up and walk outside. It's like, whoa, 70% of the people just dropped dead or lost their minds or something.
Yeah, but it's not going to be good for us because there's an AI technology, a military force from China that's going to be.
Oh, yeah. No, I know it's not going to be good. No, I don't want anybody to die.
Oh, no, I don't know what I'm saying. It's not going to be good for. I know the whole thing is going to be so. I mean, it's the whole. It's not good for. I know it's not good for anybody, but the whole thing is. You know, I understood what happened when I read the technology. I understood how demonic this was. I knew what would happen if people didn't know the truth, which is, you know, we would be living on hell on earth. And there is, my point is that there's hope, Mike. If humanity would wake up, if Americans would unite, if our military would recognize what they were doing and remember their oath, this could be stopped. Because, you know, you might think it's gone too far. And I had thought that until I did some more research, and it appears that these 5G towers are necessary for the final execution.
Yeah, but there's so much money and industry. All of big tech wants 5G, all of robotics, and the surveillance state needs 5G for the real-time video monitoring and communications for the reason. So there's no way that
it would happen.
Even the consumer, they want fast YouTube videos, right? Fast online shopping experiences or whatever. Amazon, they want 5G.
But you want you want your kids to go to school for free too. But then if someone said, okay, a guy came in as a plumber and put in pipe bombs, you don't say, oh, we'll keep them in school. I still want them. You send in a SWAT team to get rid of the pipe bombs. I understand what you're saying. It would have to be a military operation. We're at war. Those 5G towers are military-grade technologies meant to injure and execute American civilians. It would, you know, these injections are neurobiological weapons.
Well, I don't think the towers are ever coming down, and of course the media just says it's all a conspiracy theory to even talk about 5G being anything other than utopia. But I mean, I agree with you. I mean, you know, technology without ethics is hell on earth. And that's what this is, runaway tech. They're building it because they can, not thinking about whether they should.
So our love of technology will be to the extinction of our species.
Well, there you go.
Well, there now you go. I can wake up. I'm going to keep praying. I just am crying out to God.
Well, no, I'm glad you're praying, because I think that's the only way this gets solved, by the way, is the return of Christ and the defeat of satanic evil. Because I don't think humanity can solve this problem. There's just not enough willingness. People are just not awake enough, or not, I don't know.
You know what, but Mike, if people could just speak, I mean, why can't we get more people telling the truth? Why can't, you know, I mean, if Joe Rogan said the 5G towers were bad and this is what's happening, it would start to wake people up.
Yeah, well, my view is we can't depend on Joe Rogan or other influencers. We need every distributed individual citizen to be sharing the truth, no matter if they're rich or poor or big or small. Right.
I agree. It would be, you know, if all of us had the same goal, so first thing I always ask my clients is, what do you want to accomplish? So if the Patriots all had the same goal and we all said, what we want to accomplish is we want to save America and humanity, then I would tell them, okay, here's your messaging, and here's the data to verify your messaging, which is that the only way to save humanity is we need to let people know the dangers of the 5G technology on this advanced nanotechnology that people have been inoculated with, you know, or exposed to in other ways. The only way to save humanity, that's what I would tell people, if that's what their goal is. So if they have a different goal, then they would have different messaging. So if the goal is, I still want to go on Fox News and I want to be cool and I want to do this and I don't want to, you know, then there's nothing we can do. But I'm hoping that there's some people that have a lot of influence and credentials that will tell Americans the truth. And I agree with you. We need to talk locally in our communities. Anyone that will listen, anyone that will be willing to hear the truth as well.
Well, all right. So folks, the website is karenkingston.substack.com if you want to help share this information. And Karen, I know you're going to post a lot of this coming up here sometime today. And, you know, folks, you can also share this interview. Feel free to repost it on your own channel or other platforms. You'll find it, of course, on brightown.com, my platform. And we'll have Karen back to cover more of this, assuming, you know, the apocalypse doesn't happen first. But we'll, who knows where this is going? I don't even know that we're going to be online much longer, given, you know, the state of things. But we'll warn as many people for as long as we can. So thank you, Karen.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mike. I mean, you know, thank you just for always being honest with people and, you know, and having this platform, you know, and verify, you know, I think you do. I know, I mean, you're very credible. You make sure things are verifiable. And I appreciate the fact that your commitment is to truth. So thank you for having me.
Well, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the things that you've said here, I'm going to have to research, right? But you've already sent me some documents, and I'm going to try to look at this and write about it and talk about it as well. And I'll give you credit, of course, referring to this interview, but you're right. I do check things out, and I try to understand the dynamic of what's going on. But my overall conclusion right now is that as soon as we finish this interview, I need to buy more ammo. Like that's my conclusion at the moment. Like, I better place another order. That's a joke, folks, or not, but whatever. Thank you, Karen. This has been quite an adventure, quite a sci-fi adventure almost. So let's see where it goes, and we'll have you back on soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Free. God save America.
Absolutely. God bless America. Thank you, Karen. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you, simply because I want like-minded people to survive.